February 26th, 2020. It's 6:05. We're going to have a call to order with Don Griner's here, Mike Harper's here, Connie Breeze is telephonically here, Mike Shields is here, Max Miller's here, myself, Daniel Richards here. We have a quorum. Will you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Okay, do we add agenda items?
Nope.
Okay, so do we have any public comments? During our public comments would be the time for public comments. Do we have any public comments? Yes, this would be the time.
Okay. So are you ready?
Yes, let her rip.
Did you guys get that letter that I sent out then?
You're on the council.
Can I interrupt for just a second?
Please.
I didn't hear the name of who's speaking.
Please.
Scott Henderson?
Yeah.
Recording and stuff.
That'd be good.
Thank you.
Question was, were you on city council when they did it?
Yeah, Connie was too.
She was on there. I just feel that this is a really, would you guys think a rent? Well, I'm trying to get a basis of understanding here is what I'm trying to get. So, okay, I'll just go through it. That's basically, I'm giving to the community $2,400 a year on one house. What was originally along my house, my front room, is 2,700 square feet. According to your code, one cottage can be built on every 220 square feet of property, plus of parking. That's 2,600 square office space. I'll back up. So that cost $1,000 in profit for me. Also a loss of income. At $500 a month, that's what? 1,000 square foot office space. Roughly is figured at. So that would be, I'm losing the potential of 10 parking, 1,000 square foot. The parking requirements to do that, and this is supposed to be a multi-town, something like this to go in. $1,000 a month easily. I mean, get $1,000 loss per year. Sidewalk to me, if I ever do this, is around sidewalk anyways. I'm very, very grateful that the city brought this property. Is a lot moving forward, and I'm trying to build something there. And my understanding at this point is there is no parking, which could cause something. That's one aspect that's changed. I think your ADA rules have changed. I'd like to see, and I don't have a set plan, but.
All right. Let's do our number is the House Bill 4079. This House Bill 4079 is merely here as a courtesy that was provided by the Sun River Owners Association that they asked me to introduce it to you for the purpose of they would like high-speed internet there in Sun River, and that this facilitates rural internet funding for them, and they would just like support from the city to say that yes, Sun River deserves high-speed internet, and if they can acquire it through their own means, then you know we support them doing that. So basically the whole point behind putting this on the thing is they just asked me to introduce this to you. There's no need for me to read all the way through it or taking and explaining very much of it. They just merely want a letter of support that kind of says, high-speed internet's a good thing for Sun River because they have their own, economic concerns and homeowners and stuff that would like high-speed internet. So that's pretty much it. Does anybody have this?
How does this affect the city of Lapine?
It has no effect on the city of Lapine in any manner, because we have 100 meg feeds right now as far as internet in residential and 300 meg feeds in commercial. We have fiber optic here, and they merely have cable internet that has a 10 meg feed. There, we already crush them as far as internet speed. So it really has no effect to us. Possibly it could affect people in the Three Rivers area after they get high speed internet there. They might be able to get, you know, to rural areas that don't have it. But their current plans are putting in a control office in between circles 3 and 4 and purchasing one roll of fiber to go in each direction. One roll goes north, one roll goes south for the distance of 3 miles, which is the full length of a roll. So they're gonna, you know, like as in a clock, they're gonna kind of spider these rolls out for a 3 mile radius from their central office. And that's all that they're doing. It has no effect on the city of Lapine, except for they would just like our support, saying that high-speed internet for them is a good thing because they have their own economic concerns. They get employees from us that could work there, that could utilize high-speed internet, and that's pretty much it.
Under all the guidelines.
Doesn't cost us a penny to say it's good for you.
Doesn't cost anybody or anything. All they're doing is just looking for us to say, well, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yep.
Because the way I read through this whole thing, I mean, they meet.
Yeah, and it's just at some point they just wanted, you know, have a little extra dry gunpowder from surrounding areas and say, yep, you know, it's not a bad thing for you guys to have that. You know, it will actually help us out because, like I said, it'll help your industry. And then our employees go there, so it'll actually help us.
Mr. Mayor, I move with support for House Bill number 4079.
All right, all those in favor of supporting Sun River through a letter of support, say aye.
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 Those opposed? All right, so I think that it's good. We'll send them a letter saying, you know, we wish them the best. Our next thing on the
go back now. So
Bill Palick, whoever.
Okay.
You Palick. Yeah. All right. So our next thing is the initiative discussion for gas tax on the ballot in November.
Yep. So informative, get your feedback kind of hard. You have already agreed that we are going to put a 3-cent gas ballot measure title, draft resolution. Examples of flyers that other cities have done and outreach. And so just wanted to start this effort. It's going to come up pretty quick. Staff know how you want to proceed. Number one, I hope is pretty much a slam dunk, but are you all okay with the state handling the monies and collection just like they do marijuana and giving them back to us? They have the same program they do with the marijuana. Would handle it if this is approved and give us the state revenue? Ed's and
yes.
Connie's yes.
That's
the only
way to handle it.
Yeah, right. It costs
well,
us
yeah, it's
yeah.
Most effective. So that was one. The next one is, the next one, and you might have to discuss, hire a consultant to do outreach or media, to like you know your constituents enough that you as council can take it and get this election. All town, you are all very active in the community, so it's totally. I cannot do anything. Staff, you all have to be the talking points and talk about it and get out there on the radio. Neighbors go, you know, if we need.
What is the estimated cost of to have a media company deal with this?
I don't know. If you decide to kind of want to pursue that, I'll get some costs to you after that. It's
kind of fundamental to know how much it would cost
to have somebody else do it
versus ourselves.
I'll admit, I dropped the ball.
Know, obviously,
this
everyone
one.
Here would
yeah.
either be
yeah.
for it or against
yeah, right.
it. You know, I mean, so
well,
the word will get spread around.
Yeah, well.
But I understand.
Yeah, I guess if you're interested in what exactly we would be looking at as far as what we want, I'll admit I'm a little confused on what they would do for us that we wouldn't do ourselves, so.
Correct. You know, the way that I look at this whole thing is that the amount of people that actually are in La Pine that we utilize gas would probably be about 10% of the amount of crews that come, that take and utilize gas. So for the 10% it would cost people in La Pine, you would actually gain 90% of a street department. So I think that's not a bad investment.
I like this, man.
A lot of community outreach problems every place that they tried it, until they got right down. Personally, convince our citizens that we don't have any money to pay for tax or streets. We don't owe anything like that. We need to have a source of money to continue with. We're not even.
But whether we take in, you know, when the county releases the streets to us, whether we take and hire subcontractors, you know, to take and do this for us, or whether we have our own street department, either way, it's going to physically cost. At some point or another, we should be prepared for that, you know. So the sooner we start with some type of income is better than waiting till the last minute.
Well, yeah, and this would actually help with, so you got Hall of Cagle, you've got Huntington, that could be reading. So we can get the flyers, we can get the fact sheets up, we can talk in front of people after it's certified. So.
How many did it themselves? Yeah.
I know just how much they invested in doing the work themselves, or if they hired somebody to help them, and how much it cost. I think that's,
yep.
We need to know that from some of the surrounding cities.
And I'm guessing that it's gonna depend, I bet the bigger city.
What did they do?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll look back to you on that question. The next question for the ordinance, and these are questions, I'm asking these because we have to put them in the ordinance. That's why. I want to get your opinion on a sunset clause. Do you have an opinion? I'll be honest, is no, because what you do is you set people up for, you set us up for failure, and then you set people up for being angry when we can say we want it again, because I think we're not going to have enough funds built up if we sunset it. I think this is vote on it knowing it'll sunset. They're voting yes because of that clause, not because of the ballot measure.
Well, but I think there's a bigger conclusion to that. That question is, the street department isn't going away.
Right.
You know, once
well,
you take in,
yeah.
you know. you formulated a street department, you know, it's not sunsetting, so
well,
why would you send the funding for it away?
And I think by the time the clause sunsetted, we probably wouldn't have enough money to do much
right.
Projects. So that's staff's opinion. I just need from you all what you feel.
I have a estimate of a yearly.
Yeah.
Is there some kind of compensation for that?
There can be. We knew they would be our biggest affected by this. And Gordy's didn't even blink an eye. They said it's no big deal.
For somebody like them, I don't think it would be a big deal, but some of the smaller, it might cause a little bit of extra cost to them.
I don't think it's already modified into their bookkeeping that this happens. It's one-time deal, 3 cents, they're going to fix it, and it's going to be moderated pretty well. I don't see that as an issue.
And then the SFI off-road fuel. Our lockdown here, there's a pump that is designated for
on tax.
Because you take all
right,
that's the whole idea of offering the piece one,
right?
So just what you all feel.
Yeah,
so I can write that, and we can write that off-road gas
fuel,
diesel,
off-road,
exempt.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm guessing the sunset clause is a no. Okay, is a way you can write in the ability for the city to end, but obviously,
it's my opinion that if we're going to operate.
Perfect. That is all. So I will get you more information about the consultant. Other questions about anything that was submitted, we'll firm up and redraft and rework those. And
So that concludes your staff report.
That's it.
All right. So our next thing is number 8. This is our wastewater project easement and open house discussion. We do have a staff report on that.
Yes, you do. You guys want me to give you a background on the project, or you guys got a pretty good grip on what the project is?
Yeah, pretty solid.
Yeah, so after a couple meetings ago, we decided to redesign where the septic tanks would go. A bit of different things, because we're dealing with federal funders and state funders. draft our letter specifically to address that needed permanent easement for those. We're working very diligently to redraft those letters. A lot of legal language that needs to go into that. So we've been back with to make it more understandable for those customers. With layman's terms, there's going to be a couple working on that quite a bit the last few weeks. Before they start, just what it means. A little project update, because I've been getting a lot of calls about what's happening with the project, all the hookup fees, and what that equates to. Basically, I wanted to set that stage before they get into these permanent easement documents, because we're wanting them to give us those permanent easement, not to say we're going to waive hookup fees and give you money for an easement. Doesn't make sense, yeah. Does it? Yeah. But you can't really just say that, because there's legal language that has to be in there that it has to. Working on that. We're really close to getting that letter ready. You guys will see it before it goes out. It's going to take a big effort. We have partnered up with ODOT in April on the 27th, have an open house, and to have a booth there that people can come in. We'll have notaries on site. If they want to sign it then, great. We can explain everything to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Does this, since we're sending out all new easement letters, does this extend the opportunity to people who did not sign up to start out with that?
Nope.
Still closed?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we set that deadline in August, so they had to have a closed or a certificate of occupancy. There's a couple that have started projects in there that.
But they're well aware. We've talked
to them. Their permit.
Yeah, we've been hands on with them.
Go ahead, Connie. You're going to have an exhibit in there like previously that shows where the water and sewer could go, and it's going to be a lot more easy to understand. It's going to say, hey, this isn't your best depiction of what it could look like. It's showing that tank in the right of way, it's showing it on their property now, just right outside the right of way. And it talks about the temporary easement and how it changes into a permanent easement towards the end of the project, because legally where that tank's going to be. We don't know that until the construction's completed. So this is what documents are saying, but if you tried to understand that in legal terms, I'm not sure that I would really understand that, right?
Right.
So there's two documents in there they're going to have to sign. The reason I'm telling you guys this verbatim is because you're the ones that's going to go out and try to get some of the signatures, just like me and my guys. Temporary construction and permanent easement. The temporary construction easement will allow us to come on your property, and you're knowing that this temporary construction easement at some point in time is going to become a permanent easement. It is. Basically, a blanket permanent easement says if you sign this, it gives us the permanent easement towards the end of the project. We can record it. We don't have to come back to you again to have you sign that document. A lot of back and forth, because I have about 10 pages. I'm whittled down to about 5 now.
Right.
Still working.
Questions?
Because we changed the whole.
Yeah.
This is the change from the
follow through.
There's no action item here. It's just an update of what we've been doing. Yeah. We're getting close to get those letters out. We want to make sure the letters are good and accurately reflect what we want.
Yep.
Okay.
That they can come to City Hall at any point and we can notarize it there at City Hall prior to the open house.
And with documents, we're just dropping them off.
We're talking to them, yeah. Please come by.
And right, because we can't notarize
right
on location.
Unless you're a notary, you can't, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Notarize at the beginning if it can wait.
Request. Mike? Okay. Connie, you got any other questions?
No, I'll be back in time for the meeting.
Okay. All right, so then that's all for our wastewater thing. We have no other matters. We have one more public comments session. Do we have any public comments? Okay. Staff comments. Melissa?
Rotary has again asked if we want to attend. They're pretty much begged us to come. So here's what I'm proposing to the council.
What is the date?
Negotiating here this whole thing with the council. It is May, I think she changed it. I think it's May 8th. It came out as May 1st, but I think it's May 8th. I will get the date. I'll send out an email. But so since none of us are going to the spring LOC conference, quite expensive. However, if you want to go. I actually am asking if the council will let me go, pay for a ticket. Definitely want to keep them feeling like Lapine is there.
What are the tickets?
$88.50 for a single, $175 for a couple.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'll do is I'll also send. Sorry, kind of the sign-up sheet and all the information to you. So if you want to attend, you may also sign up and we'll sign you up. That is all I have.
Jake?
He's been working on this one.
I'm trying to figure out a way to, they can send one of those documents.
Yeah, comments.
He's.
Tracy?
I just wanted to let everybody know that we are starting work on budget and also looking forward, not very far down the road, to elections coming up this year, so you'll start to get more from.
Thank you so much. So then we're gonna move into council and mayor comments. Don?
I think I've had about enough. I took one question. Connie, I'm planning on attending the next COIC meeting, which is the first one to check picture.
Okay, while you're here? Okay. Harper?
Well, first of all, I'd like to, on council.
Service here.
Yeah.
And I'm really sorry to see you go.
I thank everyone for their effort and everything that they do. And I think we got everything under control.
Oh, there's a small cities committee meeting this Friday.
Bye, Connie.
Bye, Connie. Bye, thanks.
Regardless of the city.